Time for the crime report, ladies and gents, sponsored by the Crime Stoppers of Suffolk County. It's 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. That's where all calls are indeed kept confidential. Monetary reward of up to $5,000, sometimes more, issued for information that will lead to an arrest. In a particular case, Joe Jacklin, retired sergeant, NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay College, and author of The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, a fantastic pamphlet, edition number 4, and of course, best-selling author as well. We got a clue in that mix, by the way. The Cold Case Handbook, we will get updates there. Joe, a highly decorated member back in the day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department of Medical Valor. Sarge, how are you? Everything okay?
Good morning, Jay. Everything's great. How are you?
Yeah. Lots to go over. Let's get right into it. You got a settlement, Joe, right off the bat regarding the Suffolk County Police Department here. They've agreed. The county's agreed to a settlement with a construction worker. Alleged that he was permanently injured after police officers subjected him, Joseph, to barbaric physical and psychological treatment. Sorry, an altercation about 11 years ago in the parking lot of a Union Hall in Hoppog. So, you know, he filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the county. Jury trial began Tuesday, and thus a settlement for Stephen McCune out of Comac, Joe.
Yeah, and he was seeking up to $40 million. They didn't say how much he got, but he said it was substantial. You know, I guess they have found some evidence that the police acted wrongly in this. Some of the things that you need to worry about. So the news, they did a whole expose on, you know, police misconduct and payouts. And it's been, you know, they went back 23 years worth of misconduct. And they said it was about $165 million. And included in there was like the Marty Tankliff case. Remember, he got like $10 million and stuff like that. So, I mean, listen, things happen in policing. We know that. Not everything is always bad. Sometimes a lot of, you know, a lot of jurisdictions pay out money just to make all the stuff go away. But if there is police misconduct and there's something that the police did, they need to address that too. So we need to see some follow-up if there is any information that we're going to seek after this.
And you look at McCune, Joe, he suffered some pretty extensive injuries here. Nerve damage, torn rotator cuff, blood clots in his arm, his black eyes, a blood cake, cauliflower ear. I mean, he had everything. The skin I was reading was ripped off of one side of his head. He was hospitalized for almost a week, left with permanent hearing loss, vision loss here. Wow. I mean, that is that's a lot of evidence right there, you know. And it's interesting to me also that Suffolk Internal Affairs investigators had exonerated the involved officers, never really interviewed them. Joe, that's a little unusual to me. And all they relied on was their written statements, you know. Rather odd there, no?
Well, yeah, that's what I was referring to in respect that, you know, there needs to be follow-up investigation, right? So here you're paying out, who knows, tens of millions of dollars. We don't know that the number isn't public. But to say that this investigation revealed that this happened and then there's no penalties that happen afterwards is kind of a head-scratcher.
Here's Joe Jacklin and the crime report. Let's get to a couple of cases, Joe, where a Deer Park man for selling illegal fentanyl pills. All in all, 16 years he's getting in prison. And he sold it to an undercover investigator who was working with the DA's office there. So, you know what? Anything involving fentanyl, they're going to throw the book at you here.
No, and I know it's a good thing, right? So we're starting to see some of these prosecutions happen. We're starting to see them for the manslaughter cases. I mean, this is the only way right now we can combat it. If we have this big, huge hole in our border, and we know that the Mexican cartels are flooding this place through it, which is coming in from Asia, too, on the West Coast. I mean, if we're not doing anything about it, the only way we can do things now is through prosecution. But we really need to do some interdiction. We really need to stop the flow of this stuff because it is really starting to get, it's not really getting out of hand. It's out of hand already, but it's getting worse.
Dying from this, and thus these sentences are coming down rather fast. And rather furious. Joe Jacklin on the crime report. Joe, Bayshore, man, we had this case. You and I examined this case. Terrible situation. 4 to 12 years for this Johnny Chavarria Argueta, 21-year-old. He admitted drinking several types of alcohol on the 18th of September, Joe, last year. He drove up to 120 miles an hour. Involved in that fatal crash, if you remember, on the Southern State Parkway. And then he fled the scene. And Tim Massey, who's a tough judge. You know, he was involved in the Polina Valva trial and everything else. You know, no-nonsense guy Tim Massey is. And pretty much, you know, got him. You know, pretty much got him as far as the manslaughter, vehicular manslaughter, and DWI involved here, leaving the scene of an accident resulting in a fatality here. It was not going to be pretty for Argueta.
No, it isn't. And unfortunately, none of this, you know, fixes all those open wounds that he's created. But, you know, I still don't see that he got enough time, right? I mean, if we want to make this a deterrent factor, I mean, Jay, we've been doing this now together for years. And how many DWI incidents where death was involved, where somebody either didn't get any jail time or got off really light? I mean, there really needs to be some sort of, and I know in the age of criminal justice reform, we're not going to ever get that. But, you know, this is crazy.
Really is. You got to make a statement. Massey did. You know what? You drink, you get behind the wheel, you're finished. And especially if someone's going to die based on your practices. Not going to happen as far as getting off easy there. So there you go with him. Now, here's one for you, Joe, where the alleged wrong-way driver, we got to say, I guess, with killing two Roslyn teenagers, one of the more horrific stories we've ever discussed on this show, injured two others. That horrific crash back in early May in Jericho. He will argue his case for getting bail before an appeals court in Brooklyn. That will be today. I'm very vocal about this on the show yesterday regarding this Amandeep Singh. I'm sorry. You cannot grant bail to this guy. You can't. Have we not learned anything from the Jordan Randolph fiasco? My goodness. To let people out over and over again committing the same type of acts. Can't do it with two kids are dead here. It's one of the worst stories I've ever had to deliver. You can't allow it to happen, Joe.
Yeah, and it took about for the family, right, to have to go through this too. I mean, and this is all part of the whole criminal justice reform. I mean, we've been beating the drum to this for a while. You know, think about the victims' families. It seems as if the victims' families are always forgotten now in these kinds of incidents. And everything's for the perpetrator. I mean, I don't get it. I guess I never will. And I guess because we're getting older now and we understand certain things. But this really, you know, unfortunately, when people are affected by it, they tend to change their attitudes towards things. But just put yourself in the position of these parents with these young boys that were killed. I mean, my God, can you imagine having to go through all this stuff again? This guy could just walk free today. And spend the next year or so running around doing whatever he's doing before trial starts. I mean, it's got to be a heartbreaker.
Yeah, you can't allow it. You just can't allow it. You know, they're talking about clean slate and everything up in Albany now. Another disgrace. You know, it just, I don't even know what to comment anymore. You know, I just wonder, and I said this yesterday in the program, you know, Carl Hasty and Stuart Cousins, what do they think in this situation? If they had a loved one involved as far as these two teens who were killed, what would they be thinking? Would they still be, you know, up for easy street for people who do this type of deed? I mean, my goodness, this kind of act, I should say. You know, it's unimaginable. It's so common sense. It's so common sense. I'm not rewarding anybody for bail regarding this. I mean, come on. So hopefully, I mean, this is a slam dunk no-brainer. And if it goes the other way, I mean, look out. Look out. You will get a tidal wave as far as the verbiage coming by way of these courts. I'll tell you that much from yours truly, especially on Monday. I don't want to see it any other way. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Joe, three men, according to police, who are undocumented immigrants, believed to be part of some sort of a South American theft group. They've been arrested, thank goodness, here. They were arrested in Queens. They stole a lot of jewelry, about $150,000 worth, from Manhasset Jewelers on Plan Dome Road in Manhasset. A little bit of a ring here from South America, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think we're going to end up hearing more stories about this in the next coming months and years. I don't know what our government's doing or what we're not doing. Now, this doesn't mean that this, we haven't had other issues with other, you know, groups that live here, right? So I know we like to blame illegal immigrants for a lot of things, but here's the deal. We have this idea, or the criminals have this idea, that the criminal justice system in New York has their back. And in certain cases, it seems as if they do. And it's led to all kinds of looting and all kinds of crazy stuff. So when I saw this first, I said, you know, okay, I don't think their status had anything to do with it in that respect. I mean, we've seen things happen at Roosevelt Field Mall, all kinds of, you know, incidents. So I'm not shocked by this. I need to know more. And, you know, they need to get into the backgrounds and everything else that's going on and see if they can tie these guys to any other ones. And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, you listen, you can't make assumptions. You can speculate. And listen, you can't help but speculate with what we've got going on. Because, you know, we've said this a million times. What do you think, the vetting process is up to date here? I mean, come on. So we don't know. We just don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. This is an ongoing occurrence. You can't help but think. But, man, I'll tell you, it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better for a while. Joe Jacqueline with the crime report. Joe, let's get into another one here where two men were arrested for conning a Westbury woman into buying gold bars. Gold bars, Sarge. Thousands of dollars worth. And according to police, the victim, who was around 76, you know, it was one of those scams, you know, received a call from some guy to work that worked for a computer security company. You just got to be very careful there with your seniors, you know. This is kind of the latest scam, you know, transfer money out of an account, purchase gold with her savings, that type of nonsense, Joseph.
Yeah, this one was actually a little more intricate than all those other things. So, I mean, it was nearly $200,000 worth of gold. And they had her buy the physical gold. Then they said, we're going to send, like, a federal agent over to go pick it up. And they pick up the gold, and they split. I mean, this is like, this is, it's crazy. You know, put the gold in a box under a tree. And, I mean, folks, if you start hearing some of these, you know, clues about this on the phone, I know this woman was elderly. But, I mean, we need to speak to our parents and our grandparents about certain things, and don't be investing any money or buying anything over the phone from anybody. And then certainly don't be leaving a box of gold under a tree. People fall for these things all the time. We know that. And you know, listen, some of the scams are getting more sophisticated, and especially the emails and stuff like that. So just talk to your parents and your grandparents and make sure that they're safe and that they're making financial decisions based on what they wanted to do, not that somebody reached out to them. I think that's the big thing, right? So if somebody is reaching out to you, even if it's legit, just treat it as a scam as of right now until we can figure out what the legitimacy is.
Yeah, just keep warning your loved ones, your seniors. You know, just hang up the phone. You know, don't click on anything. And we tell this all the time to what we got going here. But in essence, you know, just make it very clear. Put little post-its all over the place. I don't care what you have to do. You know, just don't answer the phone to this type of nonsense. It's ridiculous. We talk about this every week. Joe Jacqueline with the crime report. Joe, you have a Long Island attorney accused of soliciting a minor for sex. He was caught by detectives. This happened in Rockland County. This Daniel Waxman from Cedarhurst texted with an investigator, posed as a 14-year-old girl. Can you imagine this? And his text became increasingly a little more sexual, culminating in an attempt to meet up with this minor. And he is now charged accordingly. He'll be in court next week. We hear about this stuff all the time.
Yeah, these are like really disturbing things. So every time they they do one of these operations, and they, you know, they're getting high profile professionals in these things. It just goes to show you that they come in all walks of life and everything else, and you don't know who is who. You know, how many should we? Should they do more of these things? Sure, I think they should. I think they should step it up and create a task force in order to deal with this, because 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds and everybody else that gets targeted, this is not normal behavior, and they need to be able to identify these people and get them off the streets before they really harm somebody's innocent child.
Doubt about it. Joe Jacqueline of the Crime Report. You know, Joe's a best-selling author, folks. No surprise here. No surprise here. Look what he does with the Criminal Investigative Function 4th edition, soon to be 5, but the Cold Case Handbook was sold out. And I'm almost done with my e-copy, Joe. It is fantastic. I tell you, you don't leave a stone unturned there, my friend. Talk to me a little bit.
Yeah, well, we tried not to. The book, the sales, I said I'm very happy what's going on. Actually, CrimeCon, the convention, has brought me on board to do a three-day online class starting on Wednesday to teach about investigating cold cases using the book as the textbook, so to speak. So it's going to be an online course, which I'm kind of excited about, so I'm preparing for that this weekend. So things are going great. I can't really complain. Very fortunate.
Before you know it, you'll have to do a follow-up, my friend. He's very popular. How could the folks, where do they go, to Amazon? Is that it? Is that who has
it? Yeah, you can buy it from Amazon, or you can buy it directly from the publisher, blue360media.com. And if you buy it through Blue 360 Media, you get the ebook with it for free.
Awesome. And I recommend it highly. It is a great read. Like I said, you know, the Sarge with his 20 years and cold cases and whatnot, he's the expert, the leading guy, folks, in this country as far as the expertise. He gives you insight and everything else. There's a little bit of the Gilgo stuff, too. Fantastic read. It really is if you're into this stuff. Joe, appreciate it all, my friend. Have a great rest of your weekend, all right?
You too. Thanks, Jay. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it all. It's 17 minutes. It really is a phenomenal read. Crime Stoppers, folks, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls are always kept anonymous.